we'll see how this morning goes, but we're supposed to be ending our series this morning on a biblical marriage with biblical communication. There's a lot to go through. It's not the first time that we've talked about this together, so we might not have to go into too much depth on certain things, but there is enough to fill our time, that's for sure. So let me go to the Lord in prayer and seek His guidance and His help. Heavenly Father, thank You for this morning and bringing us together that we might learn from You. I pray, Lord, that You would help us to learn Your wisdom from Your word. Lord, You made us. You are the source of every relationship. You are the source of communion, Lord, because You lived in perfect communion, in the perfect relationship within the Godhead for all eternity past. And so, Lord, we simply look to You this morning on how we can best relate to those around us, especially in the context of marriage. But, Lord, I pray for those that aren't married this morning that they would still learn and put these things into practice, Lord, because these are just wonderful guideposts, Lord, for us as we seek to honor Your name and glorify You and represent You well, Lord, in this world. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, this morning we're trying something different. So we'll see how it goes with the slides. And bear with me if it's a bit laggy. It's the app, it's the technology. So you try and do something fancy or new with technology, and there's always bugs. So this might be a bug-filled morning. We'll see how it goes. But this morning we are looking at biblical communication within a marriage. And as we think about biblical communication, what is communication? I think that's just before we get into the specific notes this morning. What is communication? What does it mean to communicate? Well, the first thing that we need to understand is that it's not simply talking. It's not just talking. Talking doesn't equal communication per se, because you can talk to a brick wall, right? But you're not communicating. There is a difference also between talking at each other, right, or talking over somebody versus talking with somebody. When you talk with somebody, you're communicating. But when you're just talking at somebody, that's not good biblical communication. That's just you on your end just saying what you want to say, not caring if it's perceived or accepted or not. So just simply talking isn't communication, and simply listening isn't communication, right? I mean, it's a silly example, but imagine a spy tapping your phone, or what maybe the government does from time to time, and you know, mines your data, or sources your device for audio. Somebody's listening in, right? But it's not a dialogue. It's not communication. A secret agent, you know, a private investigator, listening in on your conversation. Isn't communicating with you, though that person may very well be listening very carefully, in fact, to what you're saying. So just listening and really paying attention, that's not quite the full definition and understanding of communication. Biblical communication goes beyond those things. So what is biblical communication? Well, the method of it, what it is it is the skill and art of sharing information in a way that the person's message is understood as they want it to be understood. You can notice there already two important words. It's a skill and it's an art. Communication is, there is a technical side to it and there is an artistic side to it, right? At the very least, we want to equip you this morning to, on the skill side of things, on the technical side of things, to really understand what it means to communicate and how to ensure that your message is understood in a way that you want to be understood. Right? I mean, we've all had those conversations where, somebody's trying to communicate something to you and you're trying to understand where they're coming from, what they mean, and so that you know, they communicate to you a concern or a care and you respond back to them, well, okay, I'll try and do this, I'll try and do that better. And then the reply maybe sometimes is, well, no, you're not understanding, that's not what I mean, right? And that is a sign that you're not achieving good biblical communication, because they're not understanding what you want them to understand. The message isn't getting across. So this morning, our goal this morning is to help you in biblical communication. Again, the skill and art of sharing information, but biblically speaking, as believers, our goal this morning, in the context of the church, of course, is to develop that skill and art of sharing information, but in a way where people involved are mutually strengthened, enriched, and encouraged, and thus experience harmony, unity, and happiness. In a marriage, this needs to be your goal, especially as you communicate, right? So this takes, you know, just your bland definition that we had before on the previous slide, takes that bland definition of communication where I'm just trying to get my message understood in the way I want it understood, and it fills in, well, what's the motivation? What's my goal in communication? What do I want? What is the message that I want understood? And God tells us that if you have a message of harm or hatred or bitterness or resentment or anger, if you have that kind of a message, it's not good biblical communication for you just to relay that message and they know how angry you are with them or bitter you are with them. That's not good biblical communication. Just that person knows that you're angry and why and how much. Good biblical communication goes beyond that and wants to work through that anger, through that bitterness, through the conflict, so that there is mutual strengthening, enriching, and encouragement, with the result that you have harmony and unity and happiness in the relationship. You see the difference? So it's not just, I need to get my message across. There's something beyond that. I want to get my message across so that I can strengthen or help or encourage this person so that we can have greater unity and harmony and happiness in our marriage. See, it goes much further. So the first thing that we need to understand when it comes to communication is that you need to communicate with love. Communicate with love. And the first passage we turn to is in Luke 6:45. It says, "The good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good. The evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from the abundance of his heart." So probably the key, the central key to communication when it comes to the Word of God, the key is your heart. What you say, how you say it, why you say it, reveals so much about your heart. That's what Christ says here in this passage. It reveals an incredible amount about your heart. The words that come out of your mouth, Jesus says, flow from and out of your heart. So think about the conversations that you had this week. Think about maybe those difficult conversations that you had this past week, or this morning, or yesterday. Maybe there was an argument. Maybe there was something harsh said. Whatever it might be, Jesus says that the source of that is your heart. Now, certainly the other person's heart as well plays a part in the communication because it's a two-way street. But the Lord deals with you, and you're accountable for you before the Lord, aren't you? And so you need to make sure that your heart is right and that what comes out of your mouth reflects your heart. The main conflict, if there is conflict in communication and a relationship, the main conflict when you communicate is not necessarily between you and the other person. And James says that the main conflict is inside you, in your own heart. What's the source, he says in James, what's the source of your quarrels and conflicts among you? Is it not the passions and the lust, the desires that wage war within your heart? So, if what comes out of the mouth actually comes out of the heart, then what do I need to make sure comes out of the mouth as a result of what's in my heart? Love. Love. Ephesians 4:15 says, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, that is Christ. This, of course, is in the context of the local church, believers speaking with other believers. But the principle is true no matter what context you find yourself in. You need to be speaking the truth in love. It's just that this is so important in the context of a church that that's what he's addressing. But nonetheless, Christian, you are to speak the truth in love. So, what comes out of your mouth? Truth. Truth. That means what's in your heart is truth. Don't devise lies and schemes and manipulations. But even the method or the clothing that your words are wrapped in is to be love. Speak the truth in love. The idea is the motivation. The source of what you're saying is love, right? You might need to say something difficult to somebody. You might need to speak a harsh truth, but you need to make sure that the source of that, which is your heart, is just soaked in love for the person. And if that is true, then what you say, even though it might be a hard conversation or a hard thing to say, will more likely be received by that person because they know where it's coming from, right? It's coming from a heart of love for that person. And after all, according to this verse, speaking the truth in love to one another is the demonstration that you are actually growing up in maturity. And one evidence of a mature Christian is that you can actually speak with love. Specifically, I'm speaking in such a way that you're communicating and demonstrating that there is a heart concern for that other person, that you're very concerned for their good and God's glory, that you love Jesus and you love his people, you love this person. If they can't walk away convinced that you love them and that you love the Lord, then it's probably indicative that you did not speak the truth in love. So, and how do you make sure that when you have a conversation, it is from a source of love? Well, I mean, you need to go back to, especially in the context of marriage, you need to go back to the last couple lessons that we had in this series on a biblical wife and a biblical husband, where we talked about how a biblical wife is to love her husband, how a biblical husband is to love his wife. You need to be promoting that mindset and that heart set, as it were, of love for your spouse, so that when it's time to talk, it's just, you're already there. You're already loving the person, and it's, you don't have to fabricate love, as it were. But I understand that we're sinners, and that it's difficult to love certain people at certain times, especially the people that we know the most or the best. So how do you promote love for that person? Well, you need to soak yourself in the gospel of Jesus Christ every day. You need to melt your heart with the warmth of the cross of Jesus Christ each and every day, so that you walk around full of love. Full of love for God. Love for Christ. Convinced of His love for you. Confident in that. Not full of fear, but rather perfect love casts out fear. 1 John 4, right? So, remind yourself of the gospel each and every day as you communicate with love, and make sure that your heart is a heart that is filled with the love of God, so that when people bump up against you, what spills over is the love of God. Right? There's a vast difference. I remember an old professor would say to us, you know, some people... Well, let me say this. When you're cooking, right, you want to make a pot of spaghetti, right? So you'll go and get a large pot, and you'll fill it with a ton of water, right? Maybe you're having some company over. You're going to fill it with a ton of water because you got to, you know, boil a ton of noodles and get ready for this huge dish of spaghetti. And so you fill that pot with water, and you throw that pot onto the, well, not throw, but you place it onto the stove, and you turn it on. And even if you turn on that stove full blast, I mean, you know, there's that saying, it's like watching a pot of water boil, right? It just takes time. If you just stand there and wait for the pot to boil, it feels like it takes forever for that pot of cold water to get to a boiling point so that you can finally throw in the noodles. Now, compare that with, well, okay, I have this pot, and let me set it on even low or medium. It's not boiling, but it's pretty warm. And I know I'm going to have company later, but I don't know when they're coming. And so I need to be ready so that when I get that call that they're on their way, I want to throw the noodles in so everything's fresh, right? I don't want to pull the noodles out of the fridge or something like that and have it done too early. So my company's coming later. I want to be ready at a moment's notice to throw the noodles in. So I'm going to get that pot, fill it up, put it on the stove, and just set it on low. Now, the interesting thing is that once you get that call that company's coming, you can actually turn that knob up to high, and it will take very little amount of time for that pot to get to boil. Why? Because it's already warm. It's already hot. Sometimes, I had an old professor relate this to us. Sometimes people walk around already just not boiling over with anger, or resentment, or bitterness, not boiling over with impatience, but just warm, or even hot. Not boiling over the edges of the pot, but it doesn't take much. You just turn it up just a little bit. You just make your day difficult a little bit. One thing doesn't go your way, and then it's on, you know, your heart temperature is on high and you start boiling over. Does that make sense? Does that sound familiar, right? The way that you make sure that you're not walking around with a heart that is hot, just on the brink of boiling over with anger and impatience, the way that you make sure you're not there is by each day calming your heart, soothing your heart with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that will cool you, as it were. So that it takes much more, and you're much farther away from wrath. That's actually the word. The biblical word for patience, especially in the Old Testament, is long nose. And in the New Testament, far from wrath. Right? It's the idea of you have a long fuse. And that's actually a virtue. That's the patience of God is described that way. That it takes a lot and a long time for the wise man, the wise woman, to become angry, to lose patience, or whatever else. So, Christian, make sure that your pot is not walking around hot and you're not carrying that around. You need to set those things, set those frustrations down at the foot of the cross each day. Now, secondly, as you communicate, you need to communicate with wisdom. Communicate with wisdom. Now remember, we've walked through Proverbs a little bit before already this year, and wisdom is knowledge applied, right? Specifically, the knowledge and the truth of God applied to the Christian's life. So communicate with wisdom means as you communicate, you need to take the truth of God and practically apply it to your life. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to look at some verses, and then we're going to see how that applies to communication. And a lot of this comes from the book of wisdom, Proverbs. So the first thing that we see as you communicate with wisdom, and these aren't on your notes, I don't think these are on your notes. You're just going to write them in. The first thing is listen first. Listen first. In order to communicate wisely, you need to listen first. James 1:19. Know this, my beloved brothers. Everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. So you need to listen first, right? Quick to hear versus slow to speak. That is eager just to hear somebody out and not eager and not just waiting for your turn to talk. Listen and truly listen. That is, listen to understand what they want you to understand. That's listening. Listen with the purpose of understanding what they want you to understand. Proverbs 18:13 says, he who responds with the word before he hears, it is folly and shame to him. And Proverbs 20, verse 5 says, counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of discernment draws it out. Listen, I think a huge roadblock in communication is we think we know what's going on, right? Whether it's, I already assume I know your motives. I already assume I know exactly what you did and why and how. I assume I know the truth and the whole story. Don't we do that? We go into a conversation, especially conflict, and we just assume that I know what happened and I have the answer and you just need to be quiet and listen, right? Wise communication, though, pulls back on that and says, well, let me make sure I have the full picture. Let me ask some questions, right? The counsel in the heart of a man, or the motives in the heart of a man, is like a deep water, right? It's like a well. A man of discernment, a wise man, a man of understanding draws it out, right? How do you draw out water from the bottom of a well? Well, it's with a bucket, one bucket at a time. How do you find out what's in the heart of your spouse, their motives, what they did, why? It's one question at a time. You ask, and then you really listen to them. That's biblical communication. Don't just go in guns blazing with, a sermon ready to go, or a whole lesson ready to go. Listen and make sure that you have the full understanding. Secondly, to communicate wisely and communicate with wisdom, you need to consider what you say. Consider what you say. Is what you're going to say true? Right? Or do you even know what you're going to say? Right? When you're going to have a conversation with somebody. And we're talking about serious communication, right? Meaningful communication. The kind of communication that should be happening as you go on a date with your spouse each week, men. Do you know what you're going to say? Do you have questions prepared? Do you have a topic that you want to, address? Maybe there's something that you've been meaning to bring up, but you're looking for the right time. Right? You need, as you're waiting for that opportunity, you need to think about, consider what you're actually going to say. Again, Proverbs 18:13, he who responds with a word before he hears, it is folly and shame to him. In Ephesians 4:29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, only such a word as is good for building up what is needed, so that it will give grace to those who hear. I mean, is that even on the radar when you speak to somebody? Do you have a plan? Okay, this person has been discouraged lately. They've been faint-hearted, right? And so I need to be a source of encouragement. What's an encouraging word that I can have ready just in my back pocket to speak to this person when God gives me opportunity? Or my friend or my spouse or my fellow believer in church has been, I've noticed this issue in their life and it seems to be unresolved. It seems to be a source of a besetting sin, or a source of temptation for them, or a character flaw that I just love this person too much just to allow them to remain there as that kind of a person. What's a way that I can help them and build them up to point them in the right direction? Do I have something ready? You need to think about your communication in that way. You need to plan ahead, Christian. Not only consider what you say, but also consider how you speak. Consider how you speak. Right? And I think our culture nowadays, especially online culture, there's a lot of talk about tone and nuance. To the point where, honestly, if I'm honest, I'm kind of sick of the tone police online, and sick of the nuance police online. The part of it is, you don't know my tone. It's just letters on the screen. How do I, insert tone aside from some sort of emoji or something like that? But there is value in being careful in how you speak. It might be tone. It might also be actually the words that you say. Proverbs 15:1 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And this is in the middle of a conflict. This is why men, going back to when we spoke to you, you're the leader, right? And so, yeah, there might be wrath coming your way from your spouse, men. You might be just dodging bullets and you know, ducking out of the way of flying pots, right? But how do you respond? The Lord looks to you and how you respond. Even if there's wrath coming your way, you need to respond with a gentle answer to turn away the wrath, to deflect it, to change the course of the conversation. Men, if you're a leader in the home, and you are, this is what the Lord expects of you. No matter what's coming your way, you lead the conversation away from wrath with a gentle answer. I've seen this happen so many times where somebody just comes out guns blazing and the other person responds with a reminder of their love for the person, or just a kind word of, you know what, you're right, maybe you're right, and I need to work on that. And just being humble with a gentle answer. And it just diffuses the situation. It's amazing how that can happen in the most tense kind of conversation. Proverbs 15:28 reminds us later on in the same chapter, Proverbs 15, verse 28, the heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil things. So you can see there's a thoughtfulness to this. How am I going to respond? Do I just react? Oh, ladies, don't react to your spouse. Don't just respond right away. Ponder how you're going to answer your spouse. Think about it. Take a breath, right? And just think, okay, how can I respond in a way that's gracious, that communicates my love for my spouse, and that will move this conversation in a productive, to a productive resolution? And again, this goes back to the heart, right? What's your heart in all of this? Is your heart aimed at love towards them or vengeance? So let your tone, let the volume of your voice match the love that you intend to communicate to the other person. There's a whole, we could speak a whole lesson on nonverbal communication, right? Are your arms crossed? Or is there a scowl on your face? All of that is part of communication. You're not just your head is not just one giant mouth. It communicates more than that. Even your whole body communicates something. So what are you communicating? Even with your face and your gestures, your body language, your posture. Does it match up with what you're saying? Right? Well, I said the right thing. Well, yeah, but you were demeaning in your tone. And you had your arms crossed and, you know, bracing for a fight. You know, your hands were on your hips and you were speaking down to the person. Well, you got to be more careful of how you speak. Maybe what you said is true, but it's just spoiled by how you said it. That's biblical wisdom. Also, As you communicate with wisdom, consider how much you speak. Man, sometimes we just need to know when to stop, right? Just know when to stop. Proverbs 10:19, when there are many words, transgression is what? Unavoidable. But he who holds back his lips has insight. So this is a general truth for all of life, right? This isn't just in the middle of conversations or conflict. This is all of life, right? Just in your regular conversations with your friends or your family, you need to be mindful that if you just keep going and going and blabbing and blabbing and talking and talking, God says, at some point, you're going to sin. Especially in those late hours of the day where your filter is full. You know those times, right? You're having a conversation with your spouse or with a friend or with a family member, and you're just tired. And, you know, you say something that you later come to regret. Maybe it was something that you said about somebody else that you shouldn't have said. You gossiped, or maybe it was a harsh word or an impatient word or something like that. The Lord says, you know, you need to stop. You just need to stop talking earlier. Because where there are many words, transgression is unavoidable. But if you have insight, if you're wise, then there's going to be some point where you hold back your lips, right? Where you just stop talking. Psalm 141, verse 3 says, "Set a guard, O Yahweh, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips." I mean, if you have difficulty with this, then you need to pray, right? And ask the Lord, please, by your Holy Spirit, supernaturally, please help me. I want to close the door to my mouth and be able to actually stop talking. Lord, please help me to do that. And he will. He will. To communicate wisely, consider when you speak. Consider when you speak. Maybe you don't need to say that. Maybe you don't need to ask a question that will most likely open the door to a two-hour conversation at 11 o'clock at night, right? Just as you're getting ready for bed, right? Maybe that question can wait for the next day when you and the other person has the time and the energy and maybe their filter isn't full, right, as it were. Find a better time to ask that question and have that conversation. Or maybe you don't bring up a fault in the other person in the middle of an argument or in the middle of a tense conversation. Maybe that's not the time to bring up more issues and more gripes or more complaints that you have towards the other person. That's not the time just to pile it on. So consider when you speak. Proverbs 15:23 says, "A man has gladness in an apt answer, and how good is a timely word." Right? So you can have a true word, something true to say, but there's a difference between when it's poorly timed and when it's timely, when it's just the right time to bring it up. It actually is a good thing. But a true thing brought up at the wrong time is bad. Proverbs 15:28, again, the heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil things. Proverbs 25:11-12 is really helpful. Like apples of gold in settings of silver is a word spoken in right circumstances. And then like an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold is a wise reprover to a listening word. A wise reprover to a listening ear. So what does that mean? Apples of gold in settings of silver is a beautiful thing, right? It's an ornate, expensive-looking, pleasing to the eye kind of a thing. So is a word spoken in the right circumstance. So also, verse 12, an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold brings beauty, right, to someone. Why do ladies wear earrings? It's to enhance or accentuate their beauty, right? It's to draw attention to the face, to the beautiful face that the husband delights in. In the same way, so is a wise reprover to a listening ear. So you might have a word of reproof, correction, rebuke towards a person. But are you waiting for that person to be in a situation or in a mindset where they're actually listening to you? Or are you just the Holy Spirit, right? Incarnate. And you're the source of, you're just the perfect chisel in God's hand, right? And I have to say this. I don't care how it's going to make him or her feel. I have to say it's true, isn't it? Well, yeah, it might be true. But do you have a listening ear? If you don't, then wait and pray and watch. Wait for that moment when you have a listening ear in that other person. And then reproof, then give it. That will enhance the beauty of your reproof. I love the Proverbs and just how there's so much wisdom there. There's no shortage of it. We're not going to finish this lesson, so we're going to do part two next week. But we will. We'll just crack open this next point. Point number three, communicate with care. We'll just introduce this with a few verses maybe for the rest of our time this morning, and then we'll pick up again next week, all right? Communicate with care. Now, what I'm getting at here is you need to communicate with the goal of edification, as we looked at in the beginning of our time this morning, with the goal of edification, communicate with the goal of helping and ministering to that other person you're talking with. So in order to do that, in order to communicate with care and to accomplish good with what you say, similar to one of the points that we just made, know when not to speak. Know when not to speak. Again, we looked at this before. We looked at another verse that's parallel to this, but Proverbs 21:23 says, "He who keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps his soul from troubles." He who keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps his soul from troubles. How do I do that? How do I guard and keep my communication in a way that will guard and keep my soul and even the soul of my spouse from trouble, from sin? How can I keep anger and bitterness and resentment and impatience laziness and unsubmissiveness? And how can I keep all of these sins out of our relationship? How do I guard our relationship from those sins? Well, according to this verse, one way is to guard what you say. Guard your communication. So you need to see that those sins that are so difficult, those issues in your marriage are most likely the result of poor, unbiblical communication. So how do I guard my soul and the soul of my spouse, right? Because we're one flesh. How do I do that? Well, I need to guard our communication. How do I keep sin at bay? Well, I pay attention to how I communicate, how we communicate together. So, don't speak in the heat of anger. Don't speak in the heat of anger. Proverbs 14:17, a quick-tempered man acts in folly, and a man of evil schemes is hated. So don't be quick-tempered. And if you're angry, right? Quick-tempered means just quick to anger. So if you're upset with your spouse, or your spouse is upset with you, what's going to come out of that sinful heart is folly, is foolishness. So that's obviously not the good time to communicate. You need to calm down. You need to go to the Lord and then go back and communicate. Now, this is no excuse for one of you to go off and leave the home, or to go into the back room and never come out. This is no excuse for you to, say, "Oh, I don't want to deal with this. I'm angry right now. Pastor said I don't have to talk when I'm angry, so I'm not talking to you right now." It's not an excuse. If you're angry, you're in sin. And if you stay there, you're unrepentant, right? That's not where you want to be. You need to, as soon as you can, deal with your anger, repent of that sin, and quickly go back and resolve the argument, resolve the conflict in the marriage. So your sinful, angry heart is not an excuse for you to not talk. It's just a warning sign for you to, okay, we need to talk as soon as possible, but I need to get right first. I need maybe just a few minutes. You don't need hours to calm down. Give me a break. You don't need hours to calm down. If you go to the Lord, He can calm your heart actually very quickly. The trouble is you don't go to Him. You go to your phone to try and calm you down. You go to that show. You go to your friend or your relative. You go to mom or dad. You go complain to them to calm you down. It's not going to do it. It's not God's way. You go to Him. You lay your anger before Him and say, "Here's what I'm angry about, Lord. I think I'm right, but I know I'm not responding right. Please forgive me. Help me to deal with this rightly. Help me to remember how, though You were angry towards me and my sin, You sent Your Son out of love, and He died for me in the midst of Your righteous anger towards me. How can I withhold love for my spouse? How can I just sit here and wallow in my anger? You go deal with it with him. Watch him calm your heart. Then you go back to your spouse and you talk. All right. We've just cracked that open. So I hope that that's helpful. Next week, we're going to finish off the rest of this. The last, I think, two or three points, they go by pretty quick, but there's quite a bit more to deal with in this point, and a lot of wisdom from God. So hold on to your notes. Bring those back with you. So we'll be back here for part two of biblical communication, and that'll be the last lesson in this series on a biblical marriage. And just so that you know, after that, the plan is to begin another series for our equipping hour. And we're going to go into the topic of the Holy Spirit, a topic that I think is neglected and maybe mysterious to some of us, many of us. And the Lord wants us to understand who he is, what he does, your interaction, your involvement with him on a day-to-day basis, his function in the church, all of these things. We'll dive into all those topics in the weeks to come. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for giving us such a detailed wisdom and guidance, Lord, with how we communicate with one another. Father, I pray that you would help us to deal with our own heart, to guard our own heart from sin. Lord, may we go to the cross. Even today, as we enter into the next hour, as we look at the cross of Christ, oh Lord, melt us, Lord, with the gospel, I pray. And may your people do that each day, to run to the cross each morning as they begin each day, that they would start there at the foot of the cross of Christ and live the rest of their day as a response to the gospel. Help us to do that, Lord. And Lord, I pray for the marriages represented in this room, that you would grow them and help them to flourish under your care and your guidance. Lord, maybe they think that they have a good marriage or a decent marriage. May they see that there's so much more to be had. Just as we would never get complacent or never want to get complacent and comfortable with our relationship with you and the depth of love that we have with you, God, may the marriages of this church seek to grow deeper and deeper in their love, in their intimacy, in their communication. Oh God, cause great harmony and fullness in marriages in this church so that we can be better representations of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's all for your name. It's all for the sake of your glory, Lord. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.